Welcome to Up on Taconic, a recurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Up on Taconic. I'm Max, and I am joined by Finn.
Hello.
For our first segment, we'll be talking about February break and days off.
Off days, where we talk about our breaks and what we did.
And welcome to off days. So, Finn, how was your February break?
Mine was pretty good. How about yourself?
Good.
Nice.
So, what did you do over February break?
I watched a number of movies, doing a little challenge for myself where I tried to watch one movie every day.
So, what are those movies?
Well, the number one, and I will also list my ratings too, just for those who are curious. First day one, I had The Princess and the Frog, 10 out of 10. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it. Number two was Pulp Fiction, 9 out of 10. Then day three was Titanic, and also 9 out of 10. Then we got to Catch Me If You Can for day four, 8 out of 10. West Side Story, the remake, on day seven for 7.5 out of 10. Number six was Superman, the newest one, for 8.5 out of 10. And the last one was The Tunnel to Summer, The Exit of Goodbyes, with 7 out of 10.
All right. I think the only movie I've seen out of that list was Titanic.
Yeah.
You rated it 9 out of 10, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great movie. And like I think it was very shot very well, whatnot. I don't like Jack and Rose, the actual main characters. I wish they focused more on the actual true stories of passengers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think their acting was bad. I think it was great.
No, their acting was phenomenal.
It was really great for the roles.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
the shot list and everything, how they actually tackled the ship sinking. I really liked that. It looked really nice.
I sort of feel like you're right. Like, they could have sort of more just focused on the real history of the Titanic.
Yeah. Not to make it a documentary or anything, but I think also seeing it in the perspective of the designer of the Titanic. I forget his name right now, but I know he's shown in the movie quite a bit talking to Rose and as she asks questions how many lifeboats are there or whatnot. But I think I think it would be a pretty good idea to choose to maybe tell his story.
Yeah.
Of how he built the ship, what made him want to build the ship, and then his realization of his ship sinking.
I feel like now that it's been so many years since that movie, I feel like they should just make one that's about what you said.
Yeah, a biopic, because those are really big now.
Yeah. But definitely probably the most dramatic film I've seen, for sure.
Oh yeah, no, very,
very, very emotional.
But it looks really good. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great. And for the time, those are some pretty good effects to get the ship to look so real and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely
pretty crazy.
I also think it was a bit drawn out. They really just went no for spoilers or anything. I'm trying to keep it brief, but it's really back and forth and back and forth. Just get on a boat. Just get on a boat as soon as you can and leave.
Yeah.
Or at least have the characters do that, because it just, or make it a bit about the characters before they got on the boat, or stretch it out a little, because it felt too much of it was spent on the whole ship sinking.
Yeah, I noticed the beginning of the movie just showed them kind of just getting on the boat.
Yeah.
It didn't introduce them until they actually were on the boat.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. you're right. I think they definitely could have set up the characters more before, like, they actually got on the Titanic. But
yeah. Anyway, how was yours? How was your break?
It was good, but not the best. It's been a great winter, so.
Oh yeah, no, snowfall's been quite nice.
Got to very cold. We had a bit of a cold snap there. That was almost unbearable.
Oh,
it was very long.
Yeah.
But
it should be going down a bit now soon, which is good.
Yeah. I did some snowmobiling. Nice. I played some games, mostly Minecraft, on hardcore mode. So I died a lot. Yeah. Didn't really make any good progress because I was mostly just dying. I'm on the worlds, but now I sort of know how to be more careful. I think I'm going to be successful in the future in that game.
Well, I hope you are. It's difficult, whatnot, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, people say Minecraft is a children's game, but if you're playing on hard mode, I really don't think it is. I think it's actually a real challenge. It's one of the most challenging games I played, honestly.
Yeah. Like,
I haven't played very many games, but I didn't expect Minecraft to be such a challenge. I thought I was just going to be able to go in there and...
Like, you thought it was a breeze, whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
Yeah, I think also just in general, Minecraft, like you said, people say it's a children's game. I think it's a great game for, like, creativity, inspiration, whatnot. There's actually a server on there where... A group of people are trying to recreate the entire Earth in Minecraft.
That's cool.
And they've gotten pretty far. I think Paris and London are fully done now. And it, like, they're perfect 1-to-1 scale. They're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. I've seen photos. Very, very well done.
Yeah. A lot of those redstone builds and builds like that, just pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I played Minecraft since I was little, right? But I never really got into it until now. Now I sort of realize what it's actually about. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
All right. So for our next segment, we have an interview with health tech students and an interview with Mr. Thurston about the Secret Singer event.
Coming to a theater near you. The interview.
Hi there.
Hi.
What shop are you in and what are your names?
We are in Health Tech. My name is Khadija.
My name is Rihanna.
All right. What projects have you been working on in your shop?
Quite a few, actually. We've been working on learning about addiction. We did a slideshow on food. You remember the food slideshow?
Yeah. What was it about again?
The food slideshow was about us basically running our own long-term care facility.
Oh, yeah. And, like, finding what you would basically give to a patient, like, with certain needs, like diabetes and different types of stuff.
And let me tell you, it was not easy. Because most of these people can't have sodium. If the food is not pureed enough, I got to see this from a firsthand experience. They will literally start violently coughing because they can't digest it. Like, they're dying.
Because
like, it's not a certain food. We also did clinicals, I guess. That was fun.
Yeah, clinicals was fun.
We changed a lot of diapers. Wiped a lot of things.
Yep.
All right.
But right now we're working on addiction and
mental health.
Yeah.
All right. What made you originally choose this shop?
Most of my family members are all in healthcare. And then when I saw the Khan Academy, this, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a chance because my older sister did it and she really liked it. And now I'm in it and I don't mind it.
So I chose Health Tech because I like a challenge and I feel like the shop has so many pathways that you can do. Also, I would be the first doctor in person at nursing field, like medical field for my family. So,
all right.
And what job would you like to get from this shop?
I'd like to get my nursing degree and get my bachelor's in nursing. And then after I'm stable, because I'm not going to lie to you, this economy is not the best, I'm going to further my education.
I would say the same thing for your college, BSN, and then probably RN, and then just make my way up from there, CRNA. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Of course.
Hi there.
Hi, I'm Mr. Thurston, and I'm here to discuss the Secret Singer event that will be happening at Taconic High School.
So, today we are going to ask you some questions about the Secret Singer event.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
All right. How can you apply for this event?
So, a survey was sent out to all of the staff emails throughout, or you can feel free to contact myself, Ms. Martin, or Ms. Conant, and see if there's still availability.
When does this event take place?
The date will be March 27th at 6 p.m. At Taconic High School.
What is the event about and how does it work?
So the event is it's very much like the show The Masked Singer, except it's a teacher's edition for us. So staff will be dressed up in blow-up costumes. They will sing a song with just the background music playing, and there will be a panel of student guests trying to determine who the teacher singing the song is.
Is this event a fundraiser or is it free to go?
So this event is actually a fundraiser for both the Taconic High School Theater Department as well as our Skills USA chapter here at Taconic. Tickets are $6 a piece.
Is there a prize for correctly guessing who the secret singer is?
There is not. It's mainly bragging rights for the best of the singers among the staff.
Who is designing the costumes for this event?
The costumes for this were decided upon by Ms. Conant and Ms. Martin. They went through and found a bunch of various blow up costumes where hopefully people will be able to come up with creative stage names as well.
And is there anything else that you think you'd want to say about the event?
This is the second year of the event running, and what I can say is that the first event was quite a bit of fun. Everybody who attended seemed to be enjoying themselves, and I know personally, as someone who was actually a piece of performing there, it was an excellent experience. I'm not a singer myself, but it was definitely a fun one to be able to get out and build some community among the school.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And welcome back from those interviews. So, the Secret Singer event, you going?
I might. It sounds quite interesting. I know we've done one before, and I heard that people like that quite a bit. I didn't go to that one, but this one, maybe. I don't know, if I'm free, whatnot.
All right, so before our next segment, we have a quick ad about a media roundup. So let's go to that.
We have Weapons. This was a movie made by the same director. I forget his name, but it was made by the same director of the 2022 movie Barbarian. And this is basically the follow-up where a bunch of children from a classroom, they wake up at, I believe it's 2:17 a.m. and they all run away and they're never seen again. But I think this is a very good watch, and I think it's a good modern horror-esque piece.
Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is set to release on July 31st. This movie stars Tom Holland as Spider-Man and is the first street-level Spider-Man film and the first in a new trilogy directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, known for directing Shang-Chi.
Mixtape is a game about three friends in the 90s going through one last adventure together before graduating. This game is set to the soundtrack that includes Devo, Iggy Pop, Joy Division, and way more. I've had my eye on this game for about 2 years now, and I am so excited it's about to release.
The full video is now released on Taconic TV.
And welcome back from the Medium Roundup. So, Finn, what movies are you excited for this year?
I'm quite excited for Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man movie. That looks really good. Marvel movies actually seem to based on what I've read from like interviews, whatnot, and from like their press meetings or whatnot, I don't know. They're trying to actually like write better things now. I think it's like they're trying to write all of their projects 9 years in advance now.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Everyone complaining about their quality really has gotten to them, I think. And they're going to really try to like make it how they used to be. Big movies.
Yep. For me, I'm excited for Project Hail Mary. One of my favorite movies is First Man, with Ryan Gosling too. So I'm excited for another more grounded space movie with Ryan Gosling in the lead role. I think that's going to be pretty interesting.
I'm excited to see that. And
and it's based on a book too, which First Man is. So I'm definitely excited to see how well they adapt the book. I mean, I never read the book, but
yeah, I heard the book was great. And so if they can adapt it well, that would be perfect. And First Man, I remember you gave me a disc of it to watch, so I will watch that and add it to one of my little movie lists. Little throwback to earlier.
Yep, it wasn't the most popular movie. It was didn't do well in theaters. It was a box office flop, but over time, especially since it was released in IMAX and stuff, it has since grown on people a lot. A lot of people look back on and say, you know what, that was actually pretty good telling of, you know, Neil Armstrong and his space flights and the moon landing and all that. A lot of people going into the theaters thought it was going to be, you know, sort of just like a normal space movie, like something like Interstellar, you know?
Yeah.
But really, this is a biopic based on Neil Armstrong's life that sort of just focuses on, you know, it doesn't just focus on space. I mean, I will say the special effects are crazy in the movie. I mean, it's from 2018, so I would definitely expect some good stuff from it, but it's crazy. Some of the best I've seen. The way they made space look was just perfect.
Yeah. I know I've gone in like completely blind on that, so I haven't seen like almost anything from it except for the movie cover itself, which I mean,
it doesn't say much about it.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't say much about it, but I love biopics. That's the thing. I'm not a big fan of like space movies. I like them. Interstellar, I thought was good. I haven't finished The Martian, but I've seen a bit of it. It wasn't my favorite, but I like those parts that like it tells about the actual like space, like I don't know, just like the fact that of people going to space and all that. Like I'm not much into the actual concept of like astronauts, whatnot.
People didn't expect it to be. It's a more drawn out movie, sort of about the real struggles of the space race and the struggles of the astronauts and them having to deal with their personal lives and their work lives. And that's why I really like it.
I think based on how you're telling me now, especially, I think I'll really like it because that's the thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Hidden Figures.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, what you're saying reminds me a bit of it, and that's one of my favorite movies. Not really involving space, kind of, I guess. I mean, NASA, but...
And I will say, when they're in the space capsules, they portrayed that so well. It really feels like they're going on some, like, really dangerous mission. Like, they did not cheap out on making you feel like... Make you worry about what's going to actually happen to the astronauts.
Yeah.
So I think they did a great job on that. Overall, really great movie. Not for everyone, but it's definitely very well made.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, and I'm excited to go see Project Hail Mary too. Most likely after I watch it, so I'll like to review it, see actor growth, you know, movie growth, and like see more space movies myself and see what I think about other ones.
Yep. So back to our media roundup. What games are you excited for?
I know I have seen that one of the games from the actual media roundup, has already released. And it would be the Resident Evil Requiem game. I am very interested in seeing how it looks. And personally, I think Mixtape is, well, I mean, in the video itself, I'm quite clearly excited about it. But I love like classic music, whatnot, from the 90s, 80s. Like I love that stuff so much. And to see it in a game form and just the pure animation of the game, I'm so excited to see it. And well, that and the fact that it's been delayed for like 2 years now, it gives me plenty of time to have my eye on it. And hopefully it releases this year. I'm really excited to see it.
Yep. And hopefully, since it's been delayed, hopefully it doesn't release a broken mess like, you know, most modern games do. Hopefully they actually took the time to make it good, because a lot of games don't. Aren't.
Yeah. Well, it's an indie game, so hopefully. Indie big companies, they make like kind of slop games.
Starfield being a recent example.
Yeah.
It's big, ambitious game by big company, Bethesda, but they sort of just released it broken.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of odd.
And
they charge $70 for it. So, but it's since gotten a bit better.
Yeah.
I probably should play it, because I haven't yet, but since I like space so much.
Yeah.
And also
it's like a very, like, well, that's the other thing though, like big ambitious games, they're going to be hard to make.
Yeah.
And like I know that company's made many other like big ambitious games, but that one especially, they really kind of, it was kind of a flop, I'd say, especially upon, like, at release. Updates always help games, but on release, that company doesn't really do the best.
Yeah. Considering the actual, like, sales numbers and stuff, it was pretty successful. It's just that it didn't retain a lot of players, because it's a story game, you know, those, they don't always retain the most players, but also because it was just broken. People were buying it thinking it was going to be great, and had a lot of bugs and stuff, and even if they do eventually fix them, it's sort of just like, that's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like releasing your game broken and then updating it over time is just not really the greatest idea. I think you should just take the time to make it a full game that works and then release it, you know. I don't know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so that sometimes that's what like bigger companies are gonna do. They're gonna release it, maybe not fully finished. Keeps players like coming to the game thinking it's gonna be great, and then when they update it later on, people will come back, whatnot. But
that usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, sometimes will, sometimes it doesn't. Who knows? But I have high hopes for Mixtape that it will. Like, really, not the developers, but, like, I think the producers of the game. Either way, Anna Pira. But I know they make really, I love so many other games. So I really hope that, this succeeds.
Yeah, looks really unique, for sure.
Yeah.
Which most indie games are, and that's why indie games are often some of the best, some of the most well-rated games come from indie developers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. For our next segment, we'll be talking about electives.
Elective expansion, where we discuss ways to improve electives.
So, electives at Taconic.
Yeah.
The part of Taconic that always seems to, you know, just get left in the dust. Usually we have more removed than added. So that's why we have this segment today, to sort of give some suggestions on what we would think would be good to see in the school. So, starting off with you, Finn. What elective would you like to see added to the school?
I personally would really, really love to see the photography club be turned into a full-time elective. I feel like that could give them many more opportunities for photos, since right now, especially, they really only take sports photos of, the sports games, which, wow, that is really good and stuff. It does – there is a big – interest in that among a lot of people, but I feel like it's good to learn the other types of photography too, like nature photography, just people, buildings, architecture. That's the term. Either way, I think it'd be a big, really good opportunity for some classes, especially those in multimedia like us, to really get to experience something like that they might enjoy and they could maybe have a future career in. And I've also spoken with the teachers for that actual club, and they quite liked the idea, from what I remember when I brought it up to them, of maybe expanding it into more of a class instead of just a club. That way have more time for it, especially because clubs are only about an hour and they meet once a week, if even. And
it's always after school, so not every student can go to it. And
there's also another thing that I found out about it is they can't ever leave the school for it unless it's a sports game.
Really?
Where they can rent out where they could take the cameras and then bring them home or whatnot, wait for a game to happen, and then they go take photos, whatnot, or take photos on their phones. But besides that, I think it'd be a really cool thing to actually grow and improve. That way, maybe they could go on a trip to somewhere to see photography or take photography. That could be just a really cool experience and something that could really, inspire people.
Yeah, and photography is a great life skill to learn, and you can even make it into a career.
Yeah.
So would definitely be a good elective.
Yeah. How about you? Any electives?
I'm sort of thinking about our band class we have. We kind of only do band class usually focuses on orchestra and that type of music, or just learning a specific type of instrument. You know, how to read music, how to write music, all that stuff is great. But I feel like if we could expand it to include electronic music production, I think that would be great, because especially in modern times, it's a very, very popular way to make music, just go into the program and make some stuff. And a lot of these programs nowadays are really, really deep. You can connect any real instrument you want to it. You can record, you can sing and, use whatever effects you want right in the program. I think they're great, and I think we should have some type of class here at Taconic that sort of, incorporates that, because I think that's definitely something valuable to learn if you're interested. So, yeah, that's what I would like to see.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. From what I know, the band class is only really, they feature all sorts of instruments, but no really big break with technology or anything like that. And most modern day musicians use that sort of stuff now, and it'd be really cool to see what people could make if they were just given a class where they had free rein to that.
Yeah, you're right. Even if you're not interested in electronic music, like you said, a lot of musicians still use these programs FL Studio and whatnot. That's where most people mix their vocals and do that kind of stuff. So even if you're not interested in making electronic music. Definitely still great to learn one of the programs that's out there.
Yeah. And to just like back on like the whole like imagination growth thing that I mentioned with photography, it's just like that sort of thing can really cause like a career to grow for someone, or like for like someone's imagination to really be altered with that. Just like really give them the like tools they need to figure out something they really want to do, achieve, whatnot, and like give people what they need to do, or give people what they need to be able to make what they want to do.
Yeah, it serves as inspiration, especially because you can go into one of the programs and, you know, look at a bunch of samples and all that stuff to get ideas. So that concludes elective expansion. For our next segment, we'll be talking about our shop here at Taconic, which is multimedia.
Multimedia Talks, where we discuss what goes on in multimedia and pull back the curtain on how our shows are made.
So, multimedia, still a shop that's sort of in its infancy. It's only a few years old by this point. But,
yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot different now than when we first joined a couple of years ago. Before, we didn't even have this podcast studio where we're filming our podcast now.
The show was still being made, of course. It was just, we used to cram this whole like podcast studio right next to where we actually film our Taconic TV show.
Yep. And we've gotten a whole Studio B since last year where we can film, you know, interviews and stuff like that. So we have a dedicated room for that. Shop has been getting increasingly popular too. A lot of kids seem to be interested in the shop.
Way more than like I remember when we were just even going into like our career exploratory thing in like our freshman year. It was just like maybe 1 to 5 people. 8 was maybe like the most.
Yeah.
And even then half those kids left, and then there was like no one who was really interested. And so like there was, by the time we got to sophomore year, I think there at total there was like 7, 8 who were, which was our class where we were just running we were making our like whole shows with just 7 or 8 people. And now there's classes with like 20.
Yeah, which is more than you can actually legally have in a shop. So that shows that people are interested in this program.
Yeah.
So more so than before.
Yeah.
I mean, feel like it sort of just needed a few years to, you know, to get out there to the public. And then now we're rocking and rolling.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They have to really make sure to choose like who wants to go into which shops. And they really just like a lot of people were like, hey, we really want to go into multimedia. And that was just a big surprise for us when that happened, because from like where we are, we don't have like any knowledge of just like kids being really interested in this. Like it's really sudden for us.
Yeah, because I remember like being in exploratory, when I would come in here, I would feel like, you know, that a lot of people just weren't interested. And for whatever reason, I sort of feel like our presentation now is definitely making more kids interested, and definitely our new name, multimedia, definitely specifies more what the shop is actually about. All these new spaces we have the podcast studio, we have Studio B, so we definitely have more to it now. It feels more like an actual shop because we have more places to go.
Yeah.
So what we currently do in multimedia as juniors, we work on the Thunder Report, like always, and we work on the podcast. I think so far this year, you know, a little different format with the Thunder Report, only like being 5 to 7 minutes, 1 to 2 video packages. I still think that it turns out well every week. I don't necessarily mind the lower time. Sometimes I feel like we can't get enough news in there because we have more of a time restriction on the actual show. But I think it's been going well, all things considered.
Yeah, I definitely think that cutting it down to like 5 to 7 minutes probably at most is a really good choice for the shop, just because it really gets us to actually like spend our time well, like much better than last year when we had like 10 to 12 minute shows. I mean, like we even got up to like 17 minutes once for a show, and like we always cramped way too much into it.
Yeah, I feel like the show wouldn't flow very well either with having all those video packages in it, because we didn't have enough normal news to throw in there.
Yeah.
To, you know, like break up the pace and stuff.
Yeah, like I was saying.
So it's just like video after video after video. It's kind of like too long of a show. So I definitely like this new format.
Yeah. I was also going to say it really helps being cut down, just because like it's easier for the newer students to also learn how to do it that way. Because I remember when we came in, we were like, that's like a long show. There's a lot for us to work with. Even though there's like bigger groups now, that still would be like quite a lot to make. I know it definitely was for us. So seeing like the shorter show, it gives us more time to like focus on other aspects, like podcast making. I remember we opened up some online content stuff, like Facebook and Instagram this year, which that was really cool and stuff, whatnot. And it, just being able to work on more diverse options for this sort of career path, I think it's a great idea. And I'm really glad that shortening the show was able to deliver all those to us.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast this week might not have been possible if we had, you know, still that long show. So it definitely allows us to learn more skills that we wouldn't have been able to learn before. And about learning new skills, the short film, we've been working on short films recently, you know, developing short films, stuff like that. So how do you think that's going so far?
I think it's going quite well. I mean, I know for certain people, there's struggles always. Well, there's always going to be in like time crunches, whatnot, but like actually figuring out what the story will be, like how, like us learning how to actually like write scripts and like storyboard, all that stuff like that, and just put all this stuff together to actually create something. It's a new thing. It's a new thing for us. And I think it's well, but I also think that, you know, sometimes it's just too much, which, like, that's understandable. It's going to be stressful, and I understand that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, we'll get it done, whatnot. But it's just, it's so stressful trying to, like, think of ideas and write and just try to do all this just to make sure we get a nice, good product out of it. It will pay off. I know it will. It always does. But it's just, you know, for the time being, it's going to be a lot of stress.
Yep. I am definitely stressed for the short film. I've never done something like that before. I had film appreciation my freshman year, but back to electives, but I never got to actually do the short film I wanted to do. Because I just had too big of a, you know, outline. So I'm excited to get to do one that's more in-house, like, you know, places I can actually do it. Something we can do here in school. Definitely excited to see what I can make and actually, you know, make something, unlike in my film appreciation class.
Yeah, I remember you were actually asking if I could help you during that time.
Yep.
Because I love short films, just the ideas of them and being able to make them and the messages they can convey in, like, something that you couldn't turn into a full film. You could just condense it, and then now it's a short film. Boom. Easy. And there's so many good messages that you could convey that way. That's also why, like, videos are so big now, is because, like, there's some things that just can't be movies and whatnot, and shorter forms of content, like 20, 30-minute videos, could solve all of that.
Yep.
And it's really neat to see.
All right. So now that we've covered the beginning of our time here in multimedia and what it's like now, Finn, what would you like to see for the future of our shop?
Actually, going back on the whole elective thing, I would love to see photography or music come to our shop, because though we do, like, little bits of music and whatnot, like music for this podcast, or anything else really, it's just, I don't know, I think learning even more about that would be a nice little experience. And with the way that we're getting more into short films into the curriculum like that, I think that photography could really help some of us, and, like, get us to actually, like, you know, learn like camera shots well or stuff like that.
It could help us make the short film that we're struggling to make right now.
Yeah.
Because we get to learn more about cameras and stuff like that.
Yeah. Be able to go up little by little until we can make something great.
Yep.
Yeah. I would love to see all those, though. That'd be great. And even then, what could be even cooler is seeing those be turned into electives and seeing if we could also learn them at the same time and maybe, you know, help out. And then maybe we could learn, like, use that as, like, an opportunity to learn how to teach.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool, too. So, yeah. You? How about you? Any ideas?
I think I would sort of say just like what you said. I think we need to, you know, learn more about music, because we have that. We have the studio set up. I like where we're going in the direction of, you know, making a short film. I think that's a good new opportunity for us. Some more of that in the future would be good. Other than that, you know, I think the Thunder Report, I think it's good as it is. I don't necessarily see that much more of what we could do with it. I think the podcast has reached a pretty good format by this point. I think it's good.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Yeah. Besides that, I really like everything that we've been working on, and I'd love to talk to maybe in the future talk to more shops about this sort of thing, kind of like how we did earlier with the interview about health tech.
Yep.
And stuff like that. I think these are really interesting and good ways to get the students' feelings about their shops out and, like, get them to
definitely with the new podcast format, we can bring in students in more so than we could before. So that's great.
And I'd love to see how this could actually impact their shops and, like, see if there's anything, like, specific that they'd be interested in their shops, like, involving them, if that could be implemented, because growth is always great, and the real purpose of these shops are to teach us and, like, teach us more about, like, the things that we want to go into, like the jobs or just fields or whatnot, anything that we would like to know about these specific types of jobs, we could learn. I think that would be a really cool way of growing.
Yep. All right. So thank you for joining us for another episode of Up on Taconic. We'll see you next time. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in February of 2026.
And then one.